Hi, I'm Pastor Josh, and I want to welcome you to the Catalyst Podcast and thank you for listening. I hope these messages from our teaching team will help point you to Jesus as we seek to help everyone love God, love people, and make disciples.
It is so good to be here with you this morning. I'll try to keep moving because I heard we didn't have coffee, or if we did, it showed up maybe a little late. I see some of you got coffee in your hands. Did you buy it somewhere? Did you get it out there? Okay, you bought it. All right. So I'll try to maybe try to bring some energy to the room, but I don't think I need to manifest that. I feel like God has been in this place with us this morning. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So I believe that God is here, but I also hear like some people dogging New Year's resolutions. I'm not like a big resolution fan. I'm a big what I do is I put together kind of a life purposes plan, and I go through that, and I guess it kind of ends up kind of being like resolutions. I'm a big, if you kind of write it down, you kind of plan on it, you're more likely to do it. So that's just kind of who I am. So coming with that actually comes kind of with an excitement to the new year, because I kind of do it on a yearly basis. When the new year hits, I kind of have these yearly goals that I want to accomplish. And those are really based off kind of the core values of my life and who I am and who I want to be and who I want to become in reality. Because I think so many of us, when we think about our lives, we need to think about our lives in those terms, like who are we becoming and who do we want to be? What are we celebrating in the past and what do we plan to celebrate in the future? And one of the things that our family was doing about a week or two ago, we sat down at the table. I think it was on the 1st, actually, for dinner. It was on the 1st or the 2nd. We asked our kids, we said, so what did you enjoy most about 2022? And so they rattled off a few things, and they're young, so they got silly and stupid. Then we asked, okay, what are you looking forward to in 2023? Like, what do you have any resolutions? Is what we asked. And my oldest son said, I got a revolution, and he started to tell us about his revolution over and over again. I looked at my wife, and I kind of smiled because she looked at me like, you know. I like that better. Honestly. I mean, I like the idea of a New Year revolution better than resolution. I want to show you here just kind of the difference and definition. Revolution, a sudden, radical, or complete change, or a fundamental change in the way thinking about or visualizing something, a change in paradigm. So to the revolution. All right. We have some Hamilton people in here. All right. Here's a resolution. The act of determining. Not a bad thing to do. You need to determine that you're going to have a revolution before you have a revolution, but it's kind of boring. And then I thought about another word. I started thinking about another word. I probably hadn't thought enough about it, to be honest, which is troubling because I'm the pastor here. But it's catalyst. The word catalyst. This is what catalyst means, an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. You get where I'm going with this? Catalysts start revolutions. Kind of crazy to think about. And I kind of wonder, like, as the pastor of this church or as somebody who attends this church or maybe is considering being a part of this church, a catalyst, when you come in contact with a catalyst, it assumes you're not going to remain as you are. It assumes that something is going to change or some type of action is going to take place. We assume or should assume that when you come into contact with God, that things are going to, like you are going to change. Or when people come into contact with you, the person who God dwells, that they are going to change or maybe be sparked to change or to think about change. And as a church, I mean, we should think about who are we becoming? Who are we changing to be? Who is God molding us into? Who and what has God called us to do that would help change and shape our lives, our communities, our homes, and so forth? I want to kind of give you a little insight on kind of where we're going just in the next month or so as you kind of consider that and that you kind of sit on that. because I want to invite you to really just kind of be a part of what we're doing. Whether you've been attending here for a while or whether you're kind of like, hey, this is a new year. I need to start attending church. We need to start building some new and healthy habits in our lives. So I'm just going to real quickly just kind of here the next couple months, here are some things that I'm going to be throwing out there. The first is our mission as a church. I'm going to be asking all of you over the next 3 weeks just to kind of get on mission with us, to get on mission with us. One of the things that we are we value very much is community and building relationships, and I'll tell you that about that in a second. But the way that we do this is through our Catalyst communities, and we have a leaders meeting on January 22nd. If you are looking to or would like to lead, I really strongly encourage you to put that on your calendar. We have actually made some tweaks that I think will be better for our church and the community around us, for those communities as well. Discover class as well. I know some of you might be here this morning and you're trying to figure out, hey, is this the congregation? Is this the church for me? That class helps you figure that out. We just hope you will put that on your calendar and come to that. The second is this, is prayer. Now, I don't have anything under prayer, but here's what I want you to know, is that we are starting to build a kind of an in-service prayer team. We haven't really had that in the past. We have a prayer team. If you come to the prayer wall and you put your prayers in the prayer wall, I and a number of people on our prayer team or our prayer ministry right now, we get those prayer requests. We are praying over those prayer requests, and we are praying over you. Something that I think we need to really emphasize over this next year and over the years to come is prayer. And so if you want to join or be a part of this prayer team and God has led you or is putting it on your heart and mind to do that, I strongly encourage you to do that. John, raise your hand real quick. John will be leading our prayer team. He's going to meet with a couple people right after the service. Find that guy if that's something that God has put on your heart to be there. And another thing that I just want to, God told me to do this last night, and I think he did. You might think I'm crazy. But no, seriously, a few weeks ago, I felt like God woke me up, and he said, Josh, here's what I want you to do a better job of in 2023, and it's being present. We talk a lot about presence as a point here in our church, but as he was telling that to me, it's like, Josh, be present to what God is doing in this room. He was telling me that, but not only that, in your house and with my relationship with you. I feel like we are so distracted and like I am so distracted by so much going on anymore. And I sat down with a friend of mine yesterday and we were studying the word together and talking and challenging one another and praying for one another. And I asked him, how could I pray for him? And he said, I need to be more present. And I have a hunch that if that's what God is laying on my heart, and if the first time I meet together with somebody that we're mutually discipling somebody else, that's like their first prayer request, we're probably not the only ones. And so last night I was thinking, so what do I say or what do I do? And I'm just going to give you permission to do this right now. If you need to start your year off trying to be more present with God and more present with other people, this might be the only thing you take away from the service, and that'd be okay. Get your phone out and delete the apps that are keeping you from being present. You're not going to miss them. You're not going to miss them. If you do that during the service, I don't care. Usually if somebody's got their phone out and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, man, they're not paying attention. But if you need to do it, do it. We're going to talk about prayer and services. We're going to get to prayer here in a couple of weeks. We're going to have an interactive prayer service. And then we're going to get into relationships. I think in general, I think we've all felt the messiness of relationships over the past couple of years, and we're still not, many of us are still not where we'd want to be in relationships, and everybody wants to have whole relationships, and so we're going to seek those, and we're going to strive for them. This is just a date that you might want to put on your calendars. This is kind of to be determined as far as the date still is concerned. I didn't even get Nate's permission to put this up there. But we're looking to have a marriage retreat for some of those of you who are married. And so put that on your calendar there because that's an important thing for us. Now, I want to talk to you about our mission this morning as a church. And for the next 3 weeks, that's what we're going to be talking about. Our mission is really simple. It's to love God, love people, and make disciples of Jesus. It's to love God, love people, and make disciples of Jesus. Our mission is to love God, love people, and to make disciples of Jesus for a really simple reason. I believe if we were to break down what Jesus would have us to do in the simplest of terms, that is what it is. That is what it is. When we thought about this and we're framing this and asking, like, what do we want to do as a church, or what do we want our mission to be, we thought about it in terms of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is simply what Jesus said to do. The Great Commission is what Jesus sent us to do. The Great Commandment, which is loving God and basically loving people, was given to us not by Jesus, but it was given to us in the Old Testament. God saves his people. He sends them out. He's establishing who they are. We get to the book of Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy is essentially summarizing the law, what God would have us to do. And God in Deuteronomy 5:6, he says basically what the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so when Jesus is approached by people throughout his ministry and he is asked, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? That's the question that is posed to Jesus a number of times. This is how he responds. We see it in Matthew 22, verses 36 and 37. Follow me here. It says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, Jesus, this is Jesus answering the teacher here, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What I want you to see here is that this great commandment is not necessarily a to-do list. What the great commandment is, see, we got the Bible going. This is good. You're all right. Whatever that is, you're good. Somebody was listening to the Bible this morning. If you're watching it online on their phone, they're probably double-checking me to make sure I got the Deuteronomy part right. Good for you. Right? Do it. Check me. Anything I ever say, check it. Look it up. The Bible says check the spirits. But seriously, but what this is, it's not a to-do list. This is a to-love list. This is a love list. And what we see here is we see Jesus affirming what we're told in the Old Testament, that we are to love God with all of ourselves, the entirety of who we are. When it says heart, mind, soul, strength, and other places, what we're being shown here is that not necessarily that we should break our lives down into those categories, but rather all of your life should be devoted to that. Every piece of who you are should be devoted to that. And so as a church, we kind of write this stuff out because it helps kind of center us in who we are. So I'm going to just kind of take you through this morning. We say that we want to love God in these ways. We love God through sincere worship. That's why we're here this morning. We're worshiping God through our growth and understanding of him and through our lives of obedience to him. And so as we think about sincere worship, we talk about this all the time. We talk about it this morning, this idea that the presence is the point, that God is present in our lives, that God is present in this place. When you come into this place, you should be listening and looking for the presence of God. You shouldn't be coming here just expecting to learn something, but you should be coming here expecting to have an encounter and an experience with God. You should expect for God to speak to you, to work into your life, and all of those sorts of things. And I want this to spill out into not just what happens when you come here, but on Monday through Saturday. Because, I mean, that's really where you live. Not only that, but that's where God is working. God is at work at your work. God is at work in your family. God is at work in your lives. God's at work in your business. Just the other day when we were down in Alabama, we went out to eat. We met up with some friends, and as we're eating with some friends, another friend that I was actually fairly close with when I lived down there came walking in, and that's always great when you're eating with certain friends, and then another friend walks in, and you're in a particular area you don't get to a whole lot. But this guy's an incredible guy, and he walks in, and we're sitting right by the door, so like there's no missing it. And he stands up, and we begin talking, and I begin to ask him, like, how are you doing? Like, what's going on? How's your family? And he's like, Josh, God has been so good to me. I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he rattled off some things in his family. And I said, well, he's like one of the hardest working guys I know. I was like, how's the business going and stuff? And he's like, Josh, God has been so good to me. I said, well, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you know, I went to go buy the company off my dad. He's retiring, and he said, well, it's like at first, I was scared, and there was some tension between my dad and I because to be honest, he said, I thought the number was too high. Like, I didn't think I could do it, and I didn't know what to do. And I just wasn't sure. So he said, there's this tension there. And I said, so what happened? And he said, well, I decided to pray about it. So I went and I devoted it to prayer and I began to pray about it. And he said, as I prayed about it, he said, this is what the Lord told me. He said, honor your father. I said, God told me to honor my father. I said, okay, God, I'm going to honor my father. And so he said, what I decided to do, I go back to my father and say, I'm going to buy the business at the price that you're asking. He said, after he did that, after he bought the business, after he honored his father, after he listened to God, he said the business doubled in revenue. He said, I thought that was impossible because the business had just doubled in revenue the year before. He said, Josh, that's not, he said, God is so good to us. He said, it's doubled again since I bought it. Now, the point of the story is not that if you just trust God, your business is going to grow exponentially, right? That's not the point. The point that is he believed that God was in the midst of that situation and that every blessing that he received, whether it be the good things that are happening in his family or in his business or any other part of his life, come from God. I told you in Deuteronomy 6 is where God commands the people to love him and give him credit for all things. Well, in Deuteronomy 8, there's a warning that goes out. There's a warning in Deuteronomy 8, and what God warns the people, he says, you're gonna inherit this land. Like, you're gonna be given all of these blessings. Like, all these good things are going to happen to you. And by the way, like, so much already has. I brought you out of Egypt. I've given you this land. I've established a people. I'm in your midst. But here's what you're going to do. You're going to say you did it all. That's what God told them. You're going to say that you did it all, and here's what's going to happen. Is things are going to begin to collapse. You're going to forget to love me. Like, you're going to forget what I've done for you, and you're going to claim that everything that you've done, he says, literally has been done by your hands. One of the things I said to my friend, I said, well, you know, I believe that. So you honestly are one of the hardest working people that I know, but not only that, I don't know a whole lot of people that actually treat people as well as you do. You're one of the kindest people I know. I was trying to give him the ability to say, yeah, like, all he said, God is so good to me. God has been so good to our family. It's an incredible thing to see, an incredible display of God and him believing that God was present there. I mean, even in his prayer, he assumed that God was going to answer that. He took God at his word. Anybody can do this. Anybody can do that. We said we, as a church, we want to have sincere worship. In our worship ethos, we call it authentic. Our elders and I have been thinking about just in general what we want to be as a church and things that we want to elevate. And one of the ways that we've kind of phrased this in our core values, I told you I like to make core values, is that we want to be real over relevant. In other words, right, we're not really concerned with putting on a show. We're not really concerned with being seen as great or having it all together or anything like that. I also don't want us to pretend like our lives are a mess. When I talk about being real, when we talk about being authentic, when we talk about being sincere, what I mean by that, or what I think we should mean by that, is that we are sincerely, we are authentically, we are really trying to follow God. And sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we knock it out of the park, and other times, like, we're really struggling. But at the end of the day, above all else, we want to love, obey, and follow Jesus. Some great examples of this in the scripture are Peter and John. Peter and John have just witnessed the resurrection. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on them, and they're out, and they're preaching the gospel. They're sharing Jesus with other people, and people are literally bringing people to Peter and John because God is healing people at that time through them as they're praying over them. And the religious leaders don't really like this because they're basically like people are getting converted and people are starting to follow Jesus after coming into contact with these men. And so they're kind of thrown into prison, and they're trying to figure out like what to do with these guys. And when the leaders approach Peter and John, and they're like undressed, they're trying to figure out like who are these guys, basically. And here's what we're told about them. After kind of the leaders of the day look at these guys and probably interrogate them. Verse 13 in chapter 4 of the book of Acts, it says this: when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. I want you to see what they were impressed by when they came into contact with Peter and John, like the leaders of those days. They weren't impressed by the things that we would be impressed by. They weren't impressed by the way they dress. They weren't impressed by their pedigree, their past schooling, how well they spoke, anything like that. All the things that we care about. And talk about what they look like. Here's what they were impressed with, what they realized: that they had been with Jesus. That they had been with Jesus. We want to be people that sincerely worship Jesus. We also want to be people that grow in understanding of him. And this falls under our relationship with Jesus. You see, Peter and John, we see that they were unschooled and common people. And like, that's great. And sometimes we can kind of play that up. But here's not, the point wasn't that these men were ignorant, because they weren't ignorant. These were not ignorant men. These were men who had been taught by Jesus. These are men who had spent time at the feet of Jesus, living for him, with him, and learning from him. These are people who, when you read in the scriptures, if you're in our D group readings right now, what you'll discover if you're in Luke, they left everything to follow Jesus and to learn from him. And they gave 3 years of complete devotion, everything behind, to learn. Like, it takes time to learn about friends, learn from friends, and to learn about what our lives should look like and be molded into. And to be honest, this is the kind of church that I want to pastor. This is the kind of church that I want to lead. This is the kind of people that I think we should strive to be, people that want to sit and grow. This is what it means to love Jesus with our mind. Jesus, by the way, one of the things, again, Luke points out is that Jesus grew in wisdom. Jesus grew in wisdom. And this is why Pastor Nate got up here, and he encouraged you to start your Bible reading plan. If it is too intimidating for you to go from Genesis to Revelation, like, I get it. That's a lot. Start in the Gospels. Just get on a plan. As a church, when I talk about our core values, we tell people that we want to be biblically serious. I want to be a biblically serious church. I want to be known for people who are genuine in their desire to follow the real Jesus that's testified about in the scriptures. Not a Jesus that we make up in our imagination, or not even a Jesus that we wish were, right? That is actually, by the way, like, that is breaking, if we were to talk about the law, that is breaking like the first and second commandment. When you're reading the scriptures and Jesus is being described, or he's saying something, not that there's not, you have to interpret the scriptures, but when you say like, I can't do that because I don't like that, or I don't like that Jesus says this or is this way, that is forming a God in your own image. You understand? And so when we come to the scriptures, we want to be biblically serious, because we want to know who Jesus really is and how he was. We're told that Jesus is the truth. And to discover the truth, what Jesus does is he actually points us back to the scriptures. This is why being biblically serious is important for us in our love for him. This is Jesus' prayer before he goes to the cross here. And he's praying for his people, his disciples. He says this. He says, make them holy by your truth. In other words, make them like me. Help them to become like me, because Jesus is holy. He's God. Help them become like me, who is the truth, by teaching them your word, which is truth. And so the word points us to Jesus. The word helps shape us. The scriptures help us to become the type of people that Jesus would have us to become as we are seeking him. And so when I see our church in the future, when I see our church now, I see it as a group of people that are taking the Bible serious. that we want to grow in our understanding of the scriptures because we want to grow in our love for Jesus and who he is. You know, I love seeing people like we see it in our, I see it from our church, I see it from other churches, and it's a great thing to see. People in coffee shops studying the word together, praying together, in our homes, in our schools, in our churches. You can come to church, never open a Bible. You can come to church. I've been every once in a while to church. Like, I'm not even sure, right? You said anything that had anything to do with the scriptures, what they're pointing us to. The first century church took the scriptures extremely serious. They did. They had a very high view of the scriptures. Let me show you what Paul writes about them. 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy here. He's leading to church. Chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 say this. It says, all scripture, so it says all of the scriptures are inspired by God. Now, Paul actually invents a word that isn't found anywhere else in the Greek language. There. Inspired by God is one word in the Greek. Theopneustos. And it means God spirited, or literally God breathed. Came out of God's breath there. So they had this very high view that God was guiding, inspiring, and helping shape and form the scriptures. And then he goes on, they're useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. In other words, as we seek to love God by being biblically serious, they call us to live lives in obedience to him. They correct us. Jesus says this to his disciples in John 14, as he's preparing his disciples before he goes to the cross, before his death, and he tells them this. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. And so not only do we want to be biblically serious, but we want to be seriously humble. I don't know if it's real popular to be humble anymore. I think we all want to have control over our own lives. Like, we all want to believe that we are the captain of our own ship. But what God is calling us all to do is to honestly and humbly obey God, to seek to follow Jesus in all that we do. In my early 20s, what I realized I was doing was I was trying to master the Bible. I was a Bible and religion major at Anderson University. Loved the university. A lot of great professors here. We have some students here. It's a wonderful thing. But what I discovered is that I was in the mode of only kind of reading the text, only reading the scriptures in a skeptical or critical way. And that can be beneficial at times, don't get me wrong, because you're like reading it from all these different directions and stuff like that. But I was reading it in a way that wasn't unhealthy. It was like I was only like questioning everything all the time. Like I was a pretty strong skeptic during a period of my life. And really, in a way, I was somewhat spiritually dead. I knew that God had called me to ministry, so I decided to go to seminary because I had to figure some things out. I had to figure out whether or not, like, I was going to stay on the course because I really wasn't headed in the direction that would have kept me in ministry for very long. So I remember going to seminary, and I remember being in a class, and I'm studying, and I'm listening to this professor, and one of my professors said to me is this. He says, one of the dangers of being in seminary or studying your Bible or reading your Bible is that what you will try to do is that you will try to master your Bible before it masters you. It's like, oh. Oh. Like that changed my relationship with God. Not because the Bible's God, but because the Bible points us to God. And instead of me standing above God, I realized I needed to stand below him. Like I needed revolutions to take place in my life. There's things that I needed to change to love him, to become like him, to serve him, to honor him, to obey him, to worship him, to praise him. And yet I'm reading the Bible thinking about all the things that I would change if I wrote it, if I inspired it, who I would be if I were God. In that same seminary, it was an interdenominational seminary, so there were people from all different traditions in the seminary, and one of the traditions was an Anglican tradition, and it's high church, right? They start the church service with a procession. Like, people are marching in, the priest, and, you know, all these other people in robes. I have no idea what's going on still. But one of the things that I'll never forget is during that procession, one of the things that they brought in was the Bible. I mean, it's a big Bible. So I couldn't use my little Bible. And this is the biggest Bible I have. I need some. I'm afraid to send it away. But they didn't have duct tape on it, is what I'm trying to say. It's a much better shape. This is redneck Bible. But as they would proceed in, down the middle of the aisle, they would hold the Bible up, and they would set it on the altar. And it was a pretty powerful image. These people in this place at this time, and they're going to come under this word. They're going to come under this word that points us to Jesus, that points us to the truth. I say we want to be seriously humble, because not only do we want to come under it, but because this word points us to Jesus, one of the things, too, that it reminds us all of is that we don't get everything right. I tell you to check me, look me up, right, if I say something, because I know that even the time that I put in the study, the time I put in the prep, that I get things wrong every once in a while from the pulpit. And there is nobody gets more upset about that than me. And to be honest, like, I can beat myself up over those sorts of things. I can go home and be a wreck over that. I tell you that because here's what's true probably of all of our lives. We get things wrong all the time. Even things wrong that we know that God would have us to do. And yet, who and what does this word point us to? Points us to Jesus. He reminds us of how much God loves us. That God doesn't love us because we always perfectly obey him or because we get everything right. No, because that's who he is. In 1 John, we're told that God is love. In 1 John, we're also told this, that we love because he first loved us. No greater love than this, that somebody would lay down their lives for their friends. God didn't die for you because you were awesome, because you had it all together. God died for you while you were still sinners. God so loved the world, not because the world was awesome, because they were killing it. They were killing each other. God gave his only son because he loves the world. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Just stand up. I'm going to get ready to worship here in a second. We love God because he first loved us. And I think one of the things that we need to be reminded of this year as we seek to sincerely worship God, to understand him, and to obey him, is that God loves you. We don't do any of that to get God's love or for God's love, but we always do all of that from God's love. We love God because he first loved us. God loves you. God loves you. God even loves you. God loves you. And maybe you're here and maybe you think that there's no way that God loves me. God loves you. And we are called to love him out of his love for us. So I don't know where you are or what you're thinking about this new year, who you want to become or be, But I'm going to invite you, right, to join the revolution and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I really do think that will change your life. That will change your life. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise and thanks this morning. I thank you for our time here together. I thank you that the Spirit is in this place. Your presence is the point to us as we come to worship here. And I believe that you are speaking to us all in different ways. I don't know how you spoke to each individual in this room, Father, but I believe that you have something to say to each and every one of us. We have come here not just to hear from you, but to say things back to you as well, to respond to you. And Father, I pray that what we have done here is a response to our love for you. As we worship and lift your name high, even in this last song, Father, I pray it's a response to our love for you. I pray that you would help us to grow in worship, to grow in understanding, to grow in obedience, to grow in love. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope God uses this audio to form and make disciples of Jesus. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like to connect with Catalyst Church, we'd love for you to join us live and in person or online. If you'd like to give to our ministry, you can do that by going to our website at catalystpendleton.org.